The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
People up and down the country wondering if they're still listening to News Talk in their cars as they go around. That is, of course, Maniac 2000. And the man who's been getting us on the floor for, God, close to 25 years now, joins me in studio, Mark McCabe. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Not at all. My pleasure. It's next year's 25 years since it was released. So it's getting scary.
Yeah, that must be a bit mad, is it? Like quarter of a century.
Yeah. I've never felt it. It's never felt like it's been that long.
Right.
But I had an experience recently which kind of made me go, okay, wow. So they've started doing these kind of over 30s nights. Yeah. I've never done them. I've never been asked to do them up until recently. So it was up in the Theatre Royal in Castlebar, and right. This was the first one. So, I mean, they're great. First of all, they start at 7:30 and they finish like 10:30, 11:00.
You're in bed by midnight.
You're home early. It was just the most bizarre experience.
In what way?
Because it's 30 plus.
Yeah.
But it was probably just under 65.
Oh, right.
So it was literally 30 to 65. And normally, if you know, when I'm playing shows or gigs, it's 17 to 25, 30.
Yeah.
But this was 30 to, I'd say, 65. So if you think about it, if you're in your 60s now, you know, mid-90s, you were in your 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were probably still going out and you were probably still enjoying your life a little bit. But it was just, it's either a whole group of people who didn't experience it the first time around that are now having a go.
Yeah.
You know, they missed out. Or people who were, you know, at that age then and want to relive it now.
Yeah.
But it's just the most bizarre thing because it sort of feels like I'm at my parents' party or something weird like that, you know. But they were absolutely up for it. And they gave it socks and they loved it and we had a great night.
Yeah, people, so ranging from like people in their 30s to people who are on their third and fourth hip because of Dancing to Maniac.
Possibly.
And do you, like, I was thinking about this on the way in, because if you look at festival lineups now and, you know, All Together Now this weekend or Electric Picnic or even Glastonbury or whatever, what you hear is the two big things are kind of dance and house and electronica and throwbacks. And you and Maniac sort of fit perfect. Like, that's your Venn diagram of that song almost.
Yeah.
Like, so you are much more in demand, you find, in the last few years.
Yeah, it seems like it's in a sweet spot for me at the moment. So I'm really enjoying things at the moment because I'm able to go out and play stuff that I would have played, you know, mid-90s, early noughties. But I can also do shows that are the same kind of music, same kind of tracks, but they've just been remixed.
Right.
And they've sort of been refreshed for, you know, today. So a lot of the music that's now being released in terms of dance music, there's plenty of original dance music, but a lot of it is reworkings or it's taking samples from stuff that I would have played originally in the day.
Right.
So that means I can kind of do current shows and, you know, keep cool, but also do throwback shows as well at the same time. So,
yeah.
But I mean, the 17 to 25-year-olds are as much into the 90s and naughty stuff as, you know, we were today. So it's great.
Yeah, it's kind of had this impact across generations, hasn't it? Like, it's just, it doesn't matter where you are. Maniac is just, as I heard someone saying, it replaced the national anthem in nightclubs at the end of the night for years.
Yeah. It's the most bizarre track I have ever come across. In terms of, you know, if I step back from it and look at it from a, you know, a producer point of view or as a radio programmer or, you know, just away from it, because it defies everything that you would expect, you know, from a track that would have had the longevity, you know, the same kind of longevity. You can understand Candle in the Wind or River Dance or Put Them Under Pressure, but Maniac just seems so far removed from all of that, but yet in some bizarre, warped way works and continues to just keep on going, even though it's not on Spotify.
Yeah.
You know, you have to kind of search it to find it. And I don't know whether that's been part of, you know, the appeal or the fact that it's been kept back, that it's sort of kept its cult or underground status. But If it was available and everybody could get it, maybe we wouldn't be here talking about it today, you know? Yeah. So maybe that's had something to do with it.
And why isn't it on Spotify? Was that your decision not to have it on, or?
It's a mixed decision. So there's plenty of people, there's more than me involved with the sort of background of the track and so on and so forth. And there's a saying, where there's a hit, there's a writ. And sure enough, we had no idea what we were doing back in the day. And we didn't have things structured very well, and nobody expected it to sort of still be around to this day. So I respect the wishes of others that are involved that don't wish for it to be there at the moment. But we'll see, maybe next year.
Okay, well, bring us into that kind of chaotic formation of it, because, you know, you weren't the first person to play a version of Maniac,
no.
But you became the big one, version of it. So how did that all happen?
It started through a pirate radio station. I mean, that's the foundation for it. It was called Pulse FM, and Spin 103.8 became what Pulse was because we came off air in order to try and apply for a license. So, I mean, in a nutshell, it was a pirate station that was on in Dublin between 96 and 99. And we were doing, you know, good numbers. We were showing up in Jane Lore figures and stuff like that where we shouldn't have been, you know. But part of the party piece at the shows that we were running, because that's how the station was funded, was we ran gigs, was Maniac. And there was various people doing it. Al Gibbs was the one that I sort of related to, and sort of stepped into his shoes doing shows on this station. And it was this thing that we just did at these gigs, and people loved it. And we recorded it at one of the gigs once. We started to play it on Pulse. Pulse went off the air. Billy and Abbey Discs said, "Hey, would you like to release this?" I had a chat with Al. He said, "Go for it." And we just went for it. Because we knew that we had a, you know, an audience in Dublin for sure, but the rest of the country we had no idea about. We expected it to do okay. And the first week it went to number 2, second week it went number 1, and it stayed there for 10 weeks and is now one of the 5th biggest selling tracks of all time.
Which is remarkable, like, isn't it? But tell me about the actual recording day of it. It was in Clontarf.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you picture a song recording, I picture a shiny studio. No. And it's very careful over a number of months. No. That wasn't Maniac.
No. It was Clontarf Cricket Club, which was just a hall attached to the cricket club. And there used to be under 18s gigs there. And we just went in on one of their nights and set up a few speakers and set up a bit of gear to try and capture it, and it was a complete disaster. It was all distorted, it all went wrong, they were way too loud, and it was a complete mess. So we had to go back then and try and sort of relayer the vocal on top of it. So if you listen really carefully, you'll hear the background noise is actually different to the vocal track. But all of this, I mean, I from a production point of view, I hate it.
Right.
I don't like how it sounds, because we just didn't get it right. The backing track is fine, but the live element, just, it's all wrong, it's all out of phase, and it just sounds awful.
Yeah.
But yet it works.
Yeah.
And people say to me, you know, would you re-release it, would you re-record it, would you do something more with it? And it's kind of like, well, I've thought of it, but why would you do that to something that is consistently still rolling?
Yeah.
And
you've talked in the past about having kind of a love-hate relationship with it, because obviously it dominated so much of your career. I know you were trying to write other stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you land now at the almost 25 year remove?
I probably love it more than hating it now, whereas it used to be a 50-50 thing. I used to love it as much as I hated it, but the reaction that I receive when I go out and I play shows, the people that come up to me that want to have a picture or, you know, just want to shake my hand, whatever, they all have a story, and that story relates to a time and a place that they had with that track. And I've heard stories that go really deep and get really emotional. And I've heard, you know, I just love this track so much. So it, when you are responsible for something that has touched people and, you know, has a connection with people in the way that this track has, I can't really not love it, you know, because it's the thing that every sort of artist aspires to do, is to make that connection. And I'm just very grateful that I've managed to do it, albeit in a very unique way.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Tell us the story about the man in the coma. I found that remarkable.
Yeah. He was coming back from a nightclub and had a car crash, and was really, really badly hurt, and managed to get home, and they were sort of rehabilitating him at home. So I went to see him. But the story behind it was that he woke up after this coma, and the first thing he said was, "Will you play Maniac, please?" For some reason, you know, because I think that was his last sort of memory of when he was conscious or whatever, you know. So, but it's mad. I mean, people would have tattoos of it, you know, on their neck and their arm, and It's just crazy.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Absolutely mad. Separate to all that, I mean, you've got, what, 300 million odd streams on Spotify without Maniac, totally aside from it. I mean, you've had a very successful, particularly producing career since.
Yeah, it's been good. It's completely sort of the polar opposite to Maniac.
Mm.
You know, Gavin James, Nervous, did a track for him. I've done a few remixes for him, actually. James Arthur, Gabriel Aplin. So I kind of got caught in this Kick and Click, it's called. There was a time where Kick and Click was doing really well around the time that Nervous was released. So I got all of these requests to remix stuff from Europe and got asked to play a few shows across Europe, but they were all based on this kind of tropical house thing, and they had no idea about Maniac whatsoever. But it always, it's very hard to overshadow Maniac.
Yeah,
that's the thing, you know. So I've tried very hard over the years.
Well, come here, by anyone's standards, 300 million odd streams is incredibly successful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mark McCabe, thank you so much for joining us. People can catch you on 98 FM Saturday evenings
from 6 o'clock. Yep, absolutely.
There you go.
90s noughties. So
and keep an eye out on Spotify and everywhere else. Thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.